Good afternoon to all of you. It's good to see all of you here. I want to echo Mr. Suckling's comments from earlier regarding the doctrines class. I thought that was very enjoyable for all of us, and hope that all of you can make it in the future. There's a lot to learn from each of us, and not only do we learn more about God and His way and His truth, because it's always a good thing to get inside His Word, but we learn about each other and more camaraderie and family, I think. So it's important, especially as we see the times accelerate towards great distress in this world. Thank you. Those two words are among the most important and appreciated in any language. Thank you. It's too bad that phrase is so underused. He who does a good deed is often satisfied to hear thank you as his only reward. A few months ago, the United States observed the national holiday of Thanksgiving. For many, it was only a day of football and feasting. But for others that do have a sense for all that they and this nation enjoys, they were thankful. Did you know that the United States and Canada are the only two countries that observe a day of Thanksgiving? In all the world, the United States and Canada are the only two countries that observe a day of Thanksgiving. And while this holiday is one that has more proper meaning than the other holidays that the world observes, is it enough? Is it enough to be thankful for all that we have? Is there a difference between being thankful and giving thanks? How can we offer thanks more freely? How can you and I be more grateful when we ourselves might be in the midst of fiery circumstances or trials in our lives, difficult circumstances? How can we be more thankful, and how can we give thanks? And are there spiritual benefits from giving thanks? And what is it that you and I don't want to do? Well, today I'd like to look with you at giving thanks from a biblical perspective. And let's begin with a definition. The definition of grateful. To be grateful is to warmly or be deeply appreciative of kindnesses received. Now, if that's the case, how can you and I be more grateful? I'd like to ask you to join me in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8. And as you're turning there, I'd like to read to you what the first president of the United States wrote in 1789. In this Thanksgiving proclamation, George Washington stated, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, that we may all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we enjoy, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us." He goes on, "that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of the nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions." These wonderful words reflect a tremendous attitude of humbleness and gratitude that we would all do well to have in our lives. What does it mean to be grateful? To be grateful means that we have been impressed with a sense of kindness expressed towards us, and we want to acknowledge that. We want to acknowledge that. Giving thanks is the actual expression of our gratitude and acknowledgement of the kindnesses given to us. With that in mind, join me here in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8, this is Moses talking to the nation of Israel. And you see that in verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And then he says in verse 2, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled and allowed you to hunger, and he fed you, and it goes on. Their garments didn't wear out in verse 4. And then dropping down to verse 7, after God, Moses is saying these things to Israel, he says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So Moses describes this land to Israel. He does. And then he says in verse 10, when you have received these blessings, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land, the blessings you have received. Bless God. Moses is telling Israel to bless God. Isn't it usually the other way around? God's blessing us, or God blesses the nation of Israel. And yet Moses is telling Israel to bless God. What we find in the Bible is when a blessing was directed to God, it was a word of praise and thanksgiving towards him, as it's stated in Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. I won't ask you to turn there, but Nehemiah 9, verses 5 to 8. It says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. This is how we can bless God, by singing praises to him, to stand up and to acknowledge him. The Psalms are also filled with giving praises and thanksgiving and blessings towards God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We even sing about it, don't we? Don't we? Here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, we see that there was a warning from Moses to beware that we are to keep God's commandments, and it was a warning to not forget them and to keep the judgments in the statute, because, as we read in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have has been multiplied, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He was warning Israel that their heart doesn't become prideful, and it's not lifted up. It's a warning to keep God's commandments, because he wants them to remember that God was the one who brought them out of Egypt. And it was God who brought them out of slavery, out of bondage. And when you stop and think about it, that's the same way it is for us in a spiritual sense, isn't it? 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And it declares that we are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that we sing praises about that. And we give thanks about that. And when we are offering thanksgiving, when we are giving thanks, we are remembering what God did and what He has done for each and every one of us. What He's given us, what He's blessed us with, and that it comes from God. We are remembering that. He says here in verse 17, your heart is lifted, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. Again, this is Moses talking to Israel. And he's warning them. He says, you don't want this to happen to your heart, that you think that your power and the might of your hand has gained me this wealth. And he says in verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you power to get wealth. It is that He may establish His covenant which He swore to you, as it is to your fathers this day. When we give thanks, we are remembering and we are not forgetting where our blessings come from. This is what Moses is telling Israel here in Deuteronomy 8. And this is an important point, because you cannot give thanks if you aren't remembering, if you aren't mindful of where these acts of kindness. You're impressed enough by these acts of kindness that you want to give that thanks, and that's gratitude, and you express it. You cannot give thanks if you do not remember. And this is an admonition to the nation of Israel, as it is to us too. And we, just as they were brought out of physical bondage, we've been brought out of spiritual bondage. Just as they have been blessed physically, so have we. But more importantly, we've been blessed spiritually. We have been blessed spiritually. Now, it should be pointed out that there is a difference between being thankful and giving thanks. And we shouldn't have the wrong impression that being thankful is wrong or bad. If someone is truly full of thankfulness, that's wonderful. That's great. But being thankful tends to be passive, whereas thanksgiving is active. Thanks or thank you are something that need to be given away, making everyone richer for it. Note that the national holiday that the Americans and the Canadians observe or celebrate is called Thanksgiving Day, not Be Thankful Day. If someone says, I'm thankful I have a good job, that's fine. But it may be more accurate to say that he is glad to have a good job. And being glad can be self-centered. Whereas giving thanks is outward. And it's expressing our gratitude towards others. In the New King James Version of the Bible, the word thankful appears only 3 times. Did you know that? It appears only 3 times. And unthankful appears only 2x. The number of times both words are used is surprisingly small. And if you add the word thankfulness, you can only add it an additional 2 times. However, thanksgiving occurs 31 times. And the phrase or phrases give thanks or give you, that is give God thanks, occurs 43 times. Quite a difference, wouldn't you say? Quite a difference. Giving thanks is active. Now, again, as has been mentioned, if someone is thankful, that's a good start. But how much better would it be for someone to think of the many people throughout their life who have helped prepare that individual and helped make his or her good job possible? And even better than just thinking of these people would be for him or her to thank as many of these people as possible by sending them a thank you note or verbally telling them. Thank one's parents. Thank their teachers along the way. Thank their mentors. Or thank their boss for a job, the job that they have. You see, giving thanks is not only active, it's outward. It's outward. It's not self-centered when you're giving thanks. But being glad that you have a good job can be self-centered. You're glad for yourself. You're glad and you're happy you're not amongst the unemployed. That's a good place to start again. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just being thankful. We must give thanks. And when it comes to praising God, it implies a big thank you, given with an abundance of admiration and respect. You've been impressed by the kindnesses that he's given to you, and you express that gratitude. And it's important for us to remember, just like we're being admonished here in Deuteronomy from Moses, to remember where every good gift comes from, as it says in James. It comes from God the Father. Every good gift comes from God the Father. Now, I'd like to ask you to join me in Psalms, the 100th Psalm. And we read there. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And the margin says, all the earth. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And we do that, don't we? We come before Him with song services. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. It's God who's given us the gift of life, isn't it? Know that He is the one who has made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And what a blessing that is for all of us, that we know what we know, that we understand it. What has been revealed to us has been shown to very few. Do we grasp that? Do we understand that? Are we grateful for that? Do we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, as it says in verse 4, and into His courts with praise for what He has shown us and given to us, and be thankful to Him and bless His name? It's important that we know and realize the blessings God has given to us and to be deeply appreciative of the kindnesses we've been recipients of. For the Lord is good, it says in verse 5. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. We can be thankful that God's truth is for all humanity. It's not just for us. It's for all humanity. It's to our loved ones. It's to our neighbors. It's to our co-workers. It's to all mankind. And we should sing a psalm of thanksgiving, as we read here in Psalm 100, and give thanks. Now, what I'd like to do at this point is to look at spiritual benefits from giving thanks. Spiritual benefits for us. The Apostle Paul writes quite a bit about giving thanks. I'd like to look at a few scriptures and see if we notice a common thread here when it comes to his writings. I'd like to ask you to join me in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3. And we see in verse 12 that he's talking to us, the elect of God, holy and beloved. But we'll pick it up in verse 15 where he says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful," it says in verse 15. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus." Giving thanks. Notice what Paul says here. We do sing songs and we do sing praises, don't we? We do. And he says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also we've been called into this church, his body, and be thankful for that." That he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, as Peter said. Be thankful. And whatever we do, verse 17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. He's the one who gives every good gift. Every good gift. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. Now back a few pages in Philippians, the fourth chapter, Philippians 4. We read that Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." He's telling us how to do this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Quit worrying, Paul says. Be anxious for nothing. How often do we do that? What is it that you and I worry about? We can worry about kids. We can worry about the job. Paying bills, family relationships. We can worry about the future, society, the world we live in as it gets worse and worse out there. We can worry about all of that. There's no shortages of things to worry about, is there? And yet, Paul says, don't worry, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving. Christ told us not to worry about tomorrow because there's enough troubles today. And yet we're human, aren't we? We still worry, or at least we struggle with worries and concerns. At least I do. And then I have to get recentered and realize what's going on here. You know, God says, "I know you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you." You know, my wife showed me something once, and it was off the internet. So if it's off the internet, it had to be true, right? Right? That's what Abraham Lincoln said. Everything on the internet is true. Anyway, it was a picture. It was a picture from deep space. Something you'd see from the Hubble telescope. You know, you've all seen that, right? This is a galaxy far, far away, and it's got the big swirls, and the arms go way out, and it's pretty magnificent. You've all seen that, and there's so many of those photographs that come from the Hubble telescope. But anyway, they had this picture, and the caption read, "I made all this from nothing. I can take care of you." And then it was attributed to God, right? Think about that. Think about that. God created out the things that are seen from the invisible. He said, "You know, I made all this from nothing. I can take care of you. Quit worrying. Quit worrying." In everything, as it says here in verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is earnest desire, even with tears. Let your request be known to God, and then give Him thanks, Paul says. Let your request be known to God with thanksgiving. That's what he's instructing us to do. Giving thanks to Him. And then you know what happens? Verse 7. The peace of God will come upon you and guard your heart and mind. It will guard your heart and mind. It's one of the spiritual benefits from giving thanks. Now, how do we do that? How do we do this? Well, we just read what it said in verse 6. If we do that, then we will get to the point that we will think on the things that are mentioned in verse 8. Things that are true. Whatever things that are noble. Things that are just. Whatever things are pure and lovely, and whatever things are good and of good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And once we do that, Paul says in verse 9, the peace of God will be with you. Now, it's very mindful of Mr. Cordyce's sermon last week about having peace in troubled times. Very fine sermon. This is how one of the benefits of giving thanks is peace. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. We know God's going to take care of us. We know the end of the story. We know we don't have to worry. We should know it. I understand we struggle with it. I've already admitted I have and do. But we understand. We've been given that understanding and that God had given to each and every one of us. And then we can have peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God. Now, I won't ask you to turn there, but if you're taking notes, you might write down Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 to 6. And the author of Hebrews says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, covetousness and thankfulness are at opposite ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Aren't they? If you're coveting something, you're not thankful. You're not thankful. And you're not content, are you? They can't go hand in hand. If you're giving thanks, you're not coveting. You're remembering what you have been given. But if you're coveting something, how can you be thankful? Or how can you give thanks effectively? They're at opposite ends of the spectrum. God tells us, going on here in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, for God Himself has said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, so that we may boldly say and think and know that God is my helper, and we have no reason to fear. No reason to fear what the future might hold or what our present circumstances are. What can man do to me if God's for me? That's what he's telling us. The Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter what you accumulate over the course of your lifetime. You won't take it with you. The pharaohs didn't. That's why the pyramids got robbed, because they left it behind. You know? We came in with nothing. You ever see a baby be born? Has nothing. You ever see a dead person pack it all up and take it with them? No. They don't have anything either. You come in with nothing, you go out with nothing. And that's what Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're to learn to be thankful. We're to learn to express our gratitude. If you'll join me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Because by giving thanks, there are spiritual benefits that we can have. And peace is one of them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. It says, rejoice always. pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You notice that in verse 18? In everything, give thanks. We're to give thanks. Not just once, not just one time, but as a way of life. We are to give thanks. You see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset? Thank God for it. He's the one who created it. You see the moon coming up over the horizon or a big, beautiful full moon in the sky? Thank God. Thank God. You see, this is a frame of mind. It's a way of living, giving thanks. We live in a beautiful part of the world. The mountains, the rivers, the streams, the animals, the birds, the flowers, nature, the clouds, weather. When we see the creation around us and the invisible attributes of God, that so that we are without excuse, we should be giving God thanks for it. Give God thanks for all of it. For all of it. Sing praises to His name and for all His marvelous works. And in doing so, if we do that, we will not quench the Spirit, as it says here in verse 19. Another benefit of giving thanks. Another benefit of giving thanks. Let me ask you something. How much of your prayers, or our prayers, are taken up with our needs and wants versus giving thanks to God? How much is taken up with our needs, which are genuine, or at least I suspect they are in your prayers, and our wants, which is fine too, versus giving God thanks for what He's done? If you were to weigh them out, how much? And what if you and I woke up tomorrow with only those things that we thank God for today? Kind of puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? Makes me stop and think anyway. Makes me stop and think of it. Let me ask you another question. How many people over the years, how many people that have left God's church and given up on this way of life that you and I are in, how many of those people do you suppose were rejoicing always, as it says here in verse 16, and they were praying without ceasing, and they were giving thanks to God in everything, as it says here in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5. How many were doing this when they gave up on this way of life and quit? I'd venture to guess none of them. They weren't. These are spiritual benefits from having this disposition and this frame of mind, this outlook, and giving God thanks, offering up prayers all the time. That doesn't mean you're on your knees 24/7. What it means is you're going about your life and you're seeing God in your life. You're seeing Him in the creation. You're seeing that beautiful sunrise and sunset. And you know there's a Creator behind it. And you're thankful. And you give thanks. You express your gratitude. Sure, I hope you do it for the physical blessings too. But these things are more along the lines of spiritual, aren't they? This is one of the benefits of giving thanks. Where in all you do, in everything you see God. You see Him in the world around you. You see Him in your life. And you see what He has done for you and what He's done for mankind. He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, doesn't He? And when you see the horrors in this world, you see God because you know what He's going to do to rectify this because of the understanding that you've been given and you can give thanks for that. You can give thanks for that. Because obviously we're aware of the mess the world's in. We are definitely aware of it. We see it, and we long for that day when His kingdom comes. Again, our minds are on the things of God, and it's a way of life for us. It's a way of thinking. It's a mindset, and it's a disposition that every one of us hopefully have. So we are to give thanks. We are to give thanks, not just when times are good, but always. But always, even if it's for what God's going to do in the future. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote often about giving thanks in all circumstances. And we can see that in many times. You know, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned, a lot of things. He was persecuted. And he and Silas were in jail, and they sung praises. They gave thanks. He wrote about it a lot, and we could turn to a lot of those examples today, but we won't. I want to look at another example. I want to look at another example in the Old Testament, and it's in the book of Daniel. So I want to look there. I ask you to turn with me to Daniel, the 6th chapter. Daniel 6. This is Daniel 6 in verses 1 through 10. And we won't read it all. We'll just review here for a moment. This is when Darius was the king at that time. And what he did was he set over his kingdom 120 different satraps. Those are like rulers, if you will. And he set them over the whole kingdom. And then over these 120, he set over 3 governors to oversee these 120. And Daniel was one of them. And then these 120 were supposed to give account to these 3 guys so that the king would suffer no loss. In verse 3, it says that Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, these other guys that were in positions of rulership, because of the excellent spirit that was in him. And the king was given thought to setting him over the whole kingdom, the whole realm, it says here in verse 3. And so these guys were jealous and envious of Daniel, and they conspired together. How can we get this guy? How can we get this guy? And they said in verse 5, "We shall not find any charge against this man, Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of God, of his God." And so these guys hatch a scheme, and they got Darius to agree to it, that if anyone prays to anyone else or ask of anything other than the king for the next 30 days, they'd be tossed into the den of lions. You know the story. And that's where we'll pick it up in verse 10. So Daniel, when he knew that this scheme was hatched and that the king had signed on to it, verse 10, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed. And he gave thanks before his God as his custom since early days. He gave thanks to God. What would you have done? What would I have done? You know, our lives would have been on the line, just like Daniel's life was on the line. He knew what the decree was. He's going to get tossed into the den of lions. What would we have done? And yet, look what Daniel does. As his custom, he goes to God 3 times that day. And what does he do? "Dear God, please save me from the lions. You know, I'm going to get tossed in." It's not what he did, is it? That's not what the scripture says, is it? It says he went before God and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. What an example. What an example for us to follow. This is what we're to aspire to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to giving thanks to God. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, and as we read about here in Daniel 6, and we read about Daniel's example, this is what we should aspire to. Giving thanks to God. Very important. Very important. And there's spiritual benefits from doing that. And we see it done. We see it done in the pages of the Bible for our admonition. Now I'd like to look at two scriptures before we close, two scriptures that demonstrate to us what happens when we are not thankful. When we are not thankful. One of them has already been alluded to. It's in Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. You know, I just don't understand that. I don't have that thinking where how anyone can look around and see nature, see the creation, and not understand that there's a creator God or that there's a creator behind it. I don't understand that. I just cannot. Paul writes here, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts, and they were dark, and their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And you can read the rest. But did you pick up on that? In verse 21, they were not thankful. And that lack of gratitude led to all kinds of things in their foolish minds, in their darkened minds. And you, as I say, you can read the rest of that on down through the chapter and what happens. This is something we shouldn't be. Something we shouldn't do is not have gratitude and not give thanks. That's what the world does. They don't recognize or acknowledge God. They don't remember. They don't remember. They don't see the Creator. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. I'd like to take you there before closing. Because Paul's writing to Timothy and he says in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Remember how giving thanks is outward? Giving thanks is outward. It's not self-centered. Being thankful might be self-centered. Might be. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, prouds, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. This is 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 3. In the last days, they're going to be unthankful. They're going to be unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and you can read on and on. There's some pretty heavyweight company there mentioned right along with unthankfulness. Pretty heavy company. We don't want to do that, brethren. We do not want to be that way. And I think it's already been demonstrated from what we've read earlier that there are benefits from giving thanks. From giving thanks. The world is in turmoil. And it is getting worse day by day. And we all see that. We all see that. There will be further distresses to come. They will. And as Christians, we too will have difficult times. And it is in these difficult times, as well as when times are good, that we are to offer up thanks to God. Giving God thanks is not for His benefit. It's for our benefit. it's for our benefit. We remember, when we give thanks, we are remembering what He has done for us in our lives, both physically and spiritually. And when we give thanks, we look forward to what He's going to do for us. And that gives peace. That can give us peace of mind. Let's be sure to rejoice always. Let's be sure to pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks to God for all that He has done and all that He is doing in our lives today and all that He will do in the future, both for us and all of mankind.